So this morning we are focusing on praising our King. You know, we've focused the last 8 weeks on Psalm 96, and I'm going to read that while the kids go out to kids' church, because we've heard it quite a number of times. So in Psalm 96, 1-4, in the English Standard Version, it reads, "O sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." You know, Dale started this series off with our Vision Sunday, and he preached from these four verses of a church that we would be a church that sings his praise, that declares his glory among the nations, that's one that speaks of his salvation, the very gift of our salvation, and one that we, a God that is to be feared. And then last week, Karen spoke into, for great is the Lord. She explained how God, the creator of the universe, holds the world in the palm of his hand, yet he holds you individually in the palm of his hand, because he's a God that's above all, but a God that's so close to us. And this morning, our focus today is going to be on "and greatly to be praised." He is greatly to be praised. So I thought a good starting point when we're talking about praising God is to look at the reasons why he deserves our praise, why he is worthy of our praise. So I've got some scriptures this morning, and I encourage you, if you are taking notes, to write the scriptures down, because often in life, sometimes our circumstances can get in the way of us praising God. But when we look to his word and we're reminded of the goodness that he is, we remember why he's worthy of our praise beyond our circumstances. So in Psalm 13, verse 6, it says, "I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me." He's worthy of our praise, church, because he is good to us. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing his praises to the Most High." We praise him because it's good to praise him. It says that it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 63 verse 7 says, "Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings." He's worthy of our praise because he is our helper. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy." We praise him because he is our refuge and our protector. From that place is where we find the strength to praise him. Psalm 13 verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me." He's worthy of our praise because he has rescued us. Psalm 95 verse 1, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." We praise him because he is our salvation. He saved us. Psalm 59:16 says, "But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress." We praise him because of his unfailing love towards us. It never stops. Psalm 28 verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving." He's worthy of our praise because he is our strength and our shield. Psalm 98 verse 1, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power." He's worthy of our praise because he holds our victory. We can praise him above everything that we've gone through because we know we have victory in him. Last one, Psalm 118, verse 28. "You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you." He's worthy of our praise because he is our God. Above it all else, he is God. You know, that's only beginning to scratch the surface of why he's worthy of our praise. But I wanted to give you the scriptures to take with you because you can meditate them on through the week and realize the worthiness of God and how we are a people created to praise him. When we focus on the word, we cannot help but burst out in praise towards him when we realize the goodness that he has brought into our lives. I want to read out of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, tell you a bit of a story. This is a story of King David, and actually the psalm we've been reading this last 8 weeks has actually been sung by David in this chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's quite long, but I want to focus on two things that David did. So just to give you some context, so the Ark of the Lord, or the Ark of God, was lost for many years, and David was bringing it back to its place, and he was pitching a tent to place it in. And David, knowing what the Ark of God represented, which was the presence of God, placed it, but also arranged for a festival to praise God in that moment. He arranged that people would sing songs, that there would be sacrifices made, and worship would take place for that day as the Ark of God was placed in the tent. He knew the significance of praising God. But the second thing David did, which I want to read out of 1 Chronicles 16, 37 and 41 to 42, it says, David arranged for Asaph and his fellow Levites to serve regularly before the Ark of the Lord's covenant, doing whatever needed to be done each day. So he started at the beginning of that chapter, he started with the festival of praise to the Ark of God, but then later on we read that he's setting people up to actually attend to the Ark of God. And then it says in verse 41 and 2, says, David also appointed Heman, Judathan, sorry if I say it wrong, and others chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his faithful love endures forever. They used their trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments to accompany their songs of praise to God, and the sons of Judathan were appointed as gatekeepers. The second thing David did was ensure that there was a daily occurrence of praise to God. It wasn't just about a festival. And I think, you know, this is quite relatable to us as a church, because sometimes we can take Sunday as our day of praise to God, but God wants us to praise him every day. And what David did was not just praise him on that Sunday or praise him on our Connect Group day, where we go to Connect Group in the week. He set up a pattern of praise in our daily life. And that's what we've got to take that on board, church. We've got to be a church that praises daily towards God, not the one that praises just on the one day. Take a lesson from David here, the worshiper of all worshipers. He wrote the Psalms, you know. He knows the worthiness of God's praise, and we should be exactly that. We should be a church that daily patterns ourselves to worship our King. A pattern of praise forever to him who is worthy of it. You know, it's Palm Sunday today. I don't know if you guys knew that or... So, yeah. What Palm Sunday represents is the Sunday before Jesus' crucifixion. But Palm Sunday is actually a day of praise. So it's quite fitting that we're talking about God worthy of our praise, and it's actually on Palm Sunday. So I'm going to read out of Matthew 21:19. It says, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens." This was as Jesus was entering the town of Jerusalem. He was coming on a donkey, and the crowd was gathering around him and worshipping him, and they were praising him. They were declaring that he was the Messiah. Luke 19, verse 35 to 40 actually recounts it like this. So they bought the colt of Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheer." I find that amazing. Like the very crowd that actually goes on to crucify Jesus is the crowd that's praising him in that moment. As he's riding the back of the donkey, they're throwing palm trees down. As he's riding along, they're throwing their praises out. They're using their voices saying, "This is the Messiah." And one of the Pharisees is saying, "Follower, you must stop them from declaring these things. But Jesus said, if they did not, then the rocks would cry out, because Jesus knew he was the Messiah. He knew he was worthy of their praise. And if they weren't going to do it, then the rocks would do it. It was going to happen either way. But I find it interesting that the very people that were praising quickly were the ones that were declaring him to be crucified. And sometimes I feel, church, that sometimes we can be in that situation where circumstances change for us and all of a sudden we find ourselves no longer praising but worrying. And we allow those worries to overcome our praise to the Lord, even though he's worthy of it despite that. When I started to prepare this sermon for today, the first thought that came into my head was that we can't let our circumstances define our praise to him. We can't allow that to happen. And I want to encourage you this morning with some people out of the Bible that didn't allow their circumstances to change their focus on Jesus. They didn't allow their worship to stop because of a circumstance that was taking place. So I've got three characters to look to this morning. The first one is Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. So just to give you some context, so Daniel was highly favored, serving a king, King Darius, to the point that King Darius was appointing David to be like administrator of all his things. But like anything, King Daniel confused, sorry guys. So Daniel found that the people below him, some administrators just below him, were quite jealous of Daniel. They didn't like how the king favored him, and they really wanted what Daniel had. So they decided, we've got to get Daniel, like, we've got to bring him down a few pegs. So we've got to find something that he's doing wrong. We can take it to the king, and then he'll be gone. He will no longer be favored. So they went through all his like decisions, what he was doing amongst the nation, and they found there was nothing wrong. Daniel was doing all the right things. So the only thing they could find that they could maybe get him on was his devotion to God. So they came up with this plan that they would go to King Darius and say to King Darius, you know what, I think we should only praise you as our king. There should be no other god, spiritual or human, to be praised other than you, King Darius. You deserve all our praise. So let's make this law for 30 days that no one is allowed to worship any other god apart from you. And the king signed the paper. So in verse 10, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says this, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room. With its window open towards Jerusalem, he prayed three times a day, just as he had always done. Daniel's circumstances changed, but his praise to God didn't. He went to his room and he knelt down as usual and gave thanks to God. Even though those administrators that were scheming against him initially came, arrested him, and they had him put in the lion's den in hope that he would be killed by those lions. But that didn't stop Daniel from praising God. You know, he could have, I don't know if I could have done the same in that situation, but maybe, like, he could have done it in secret. Like, he could have gone up to his room, closed his window, and knelt down before God. But he chose not to do it. He chose to do it as usual. And by doing so, he did go into the lion's den. But when the king removed the stone off the lion's den after a night had passed, Daniel was at the bottom, still alive, and they lifted him out. And it caused the king to then make this declaration. In verse 25 to 27 of Daniel chapter 6, it says, King Darius sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of lions. Daniel's faithfulness to praise God above his circumstances caused the whole nation to be told about the living God. The king was now declaring that Daniel's God was the only living God and that he was now praising him also. We can never underestimate the power of our praise. Even though it looks like a bad situation, when we choose to praise above it, somehow it always works out for good. Another story in the Bible is Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were missionaries. They were in Acts. They were going around from town to town telling people about Jesus, declaring the goodness of him, the fact that he can have a relationship with him. But they found themselves in a lot of strife throughout that whole process. But the particular story I want to read today is in Acts chapter 16, verse 20 to 26. They had found themselves in a bit of strife, and this is what happened. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted this to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. What a situation to be in. Not only accused without trial, but also beaten and then put into jail. Not just any jail, like the inner parts of the jail, just in case you choose to escape. But the circumstance Paul and Silas found themselves in did not silence their praise. As we read on, it says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. You know, it's not a usual sound of praise and hymns in a jail, especially in those days. But Paul and Silas knew that above their circumstances, God was worthy of their praise. And in the process, other prisoners were listening, it says. The other, like, well, what else are you going to do? But they were listening to this sound. But I think the biggest miracle is that when the doors opened to all the prisoners and the chains fell off, not one prisoner left. They had the opportunity to, but they didn't. And when the prison warden or the guy that looks after the prisoners awoke and saw that the doors had opened, his initial thought was to kill himself, because that's what would have happened. If any of them had escaped, he would have been dead anyway. So as he went to do that, Paul stopped him and introduced him to Jesus. Because of Paul and Silas's obedience to praising God above their circumstances, they led someone to know Jesus. And again, an extra person's now praising him. They did not allow their worries of their circumstances to overpower the praise from their lips. My last character for you today. In Luke 7, 36 to 39, it says this, "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet. Weeping, her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner.'" So imagine being this woman in this story. You know, it was a custom in those times that if a rabbi was invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner, people in the town could come and listen. They weren't to partake of the dinner, but they could still come and listen to what the rabbi had to say. So it's not unusual that this woman was able to enter the house and hear what Jesus had to say. But what I found interesting is this woman probably had heard about Jesus. She might have been in the crowds that followed him and was hearing him speak and teach in the town. And she thought, "I'm not going to be able to approach him here." So she chose this intimate dinner. But just imagine how this woman felt. She knew what she was doing. She knew she was going into that home to worship Jesus at his feet. She knew that. But she also knew everyone else in that room knew who she was, a sinful woman. Imagine how she felt. She knew that everyone around her did not think that she was worthy to be there. She was not one of them. Yet she entered the space to find Jesus. But not only did she find him, she didn't allow the perceptions of others to stop her, and she didn't allow them to stop her from positioning herself at Jesus' feet. But not, and as she did position herself, her tears flowed down her face to the point of soaking his feet. And then she used her hair, which again, in those times, was a big no-no. You don't have your hair out. It was considered a provocative thing. But she used what she had to wipe his feet. And she kissed his feet and she anointed his feet with this perfume. She did not allow the thoughts of others to prevent her actions from worshipping Jesus. She was not deterred by the fact that she wasn't a guest at the dinner table. She wasn't invited to the dinner. Even though she could be in the room, she wasn't invited to the dinner. But then the Pharisee thought to himself, the Pharisee that invited Jesus, Simon was this Pharisee, he invited Jesus, and Simon thought to himself, if only Jesus knew the type of woman she was. But I love Jesus' response in verse 50 of that chapter. It says, and Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This was after Jesus had corrected Simon. This woman knew she needed to be at Jesus' feet. And I believe that she chose to praise him with her everything. She bought the most expensive perfume to come and anoint his feet. Despite her being a sinful woman, she chose an intimate moment between her and Jesus, even though the room looked full of people. She did not allow the thoughts of her actions, the thoughts of other people, to deter her actions from worshipping God. And I believe she got what she came for. God said, your faith has saved you, go in peace. You know, I'm not aware of anyone's circumstances here today. And you might be sitting here and listening, or sitting at home and listening and feeling as though you've allowed your worries or the thoughts of others to get in the way of how you worship Jesus, the God who's worthy of our praise. But I'm here to remind you of why we have a reason to praise despite our circumstances. You know, this woman overcame a lot to position herself at Jesus' feet. And Jesus accepted and loved her. He did not deter her. He did not turn her away. He did not take the opinions of others. Just as Daniel overcame his circumstance of a law changing, he faced death, but he chose to praise. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. God has provided us with a garment of praise, not one of despair. We wear a garment of praise instead of worry. We wear a garment of praise instead of what others might think or what sorrows we might face. God has given us a garment of praise to wear because he's worthy of our praise. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's saying, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix them above all else. He is worthy of praise. He's worthy of our thoughts. We don't need to worry about those things around us, our circumstances, the things we face. Yes, they can be hard, but I challenge you to overcome those circumstances to fix your praise on him. Let's not expend our thoughts on things not worth our praise. Rather, focus on him who is worth our praise. I'm mindful today that I've talked a lot about praising this king called Jesus. And maybe you don't know him. Maybe you're wondering, who is this guy? And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to meet him. So I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what you're feeling right now, but maybe your heart is pumping really fast. Because I know Jesus wants to meet you. He wants to love on you, just like that woman that approached Jesus' feet and worshipped him with her everything. And he turned and loved and accepted her and told her, go in peace, you are saved. If that is you today, it's honestly just a heart decision. That in your heart you say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't want to live this life I live anymore. I want your plans and your purposes. I want to be able to praise you above how I'm feeling right now. And with that heart decision, you're inviting Jesus into your life, and he will come. And if that is you, I just ask that after the service, you come and see me, or you see the person who brought you. Or if you're online, email us at melbourne@dreambuilders.church. I always get that email wrong. Because we would love to connect you in this journey of knowing Jesus deeper. We would love to help you along the way in any way we can. But you know, church, you and I are created to praise. We're here to sing his praises, to declare his glory among everything that we do. He did not create us to be bogged down in our circumstances and not bring glory to him. Just like those people always, the praise equaled something greater. When they chose to praise above their circumstances, something greater happened. And I want to end this morning. We're going to hear from you guys today. We're going to do a segment called What is God Doing? And that's giving testimony to what is God doing in your life at the moment. Because we believe in the power of testimony, and we believe that by sharing what God's doing in your life, you're going to encourage someone else in this space today. But before I do, I want to finish by reading Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5. It says, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He invites us to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. He's inviting us to come and praise him this morning. So I hope this morning, church, that you are encouraged to sing his praise beyond your circumstances today. Whatever you're facing, whatever's going on in your life, he is worthy of our praise. And just wait and see what he does with it. He's a good God. We praise him because he's good to us. He loves us and he wants the best for us. So let me pray, and then we're going to move into our What is God Doing segment. So God, we just thank you this morning for every person in this building, Lord, every person on the live stream, God. We just pray, Lord, that as we begin to lift our voice in praise to you, God, that you would do wonderful and miraculous things, God. We know that you move among our praise, God. We know that you are a good God that wants us to praise you, God, that you want the best for our life, God. And we just pray that we leave here today, Lord. We leave here knowing that we can praise you above everything, God, and you are a good God that works everything out for good. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.